Murdoch University is the provider of resources and transmission facilities for the Six Points podcast. The views expressed on the show are those of the individual and not necessarily those of Murdoch University or Radio Murdoch. All views expressed are those of the individual unless otherwise stated.
There's a spillage across half-back. Port Adelaide pit the ball up. Matt White now running down the wing of Etihad Stadium. He takes a bounce, takes a second bounce. Richmond might catch him. Here he's burnt off his opponent. Matt White takes a third bounce, runs inside the 50 from 49 metres out. He unloads, open goal square, goal!
Ebert pumps it into the forward 50. Wingard. Oh, Wingard! Oh, baby, there's your mark of the year. Get around him, boys. Oh, he's played on. Oh, he's kicked it anyway. Wingard, what a star.
Good Tuesday, footy fans. Welcome to the 6 points for another week. My name is Robert Beaver. And across the desk to my left, a man who, quite generously, I might add,
very generously,
offered Luke Hodge a beer over the boundary line on Friday night. Sean Subra.
Yeah, look, I was loving it, Rob. Everyone was getting into it. We love a bit of niggle at the footy, but very funny stuff. If you haven't seen it, where can we find the video? It's on somewhere.
If you go to the match replays on
Match Replay, yeah,
you can see. Yeah,
you might even see me on the boundary.
Quite a few Eagle supporters obviously taunting Luke Hodge, offering, because we only get mid-strength at the footy over here, don't we?
Yeah, just
have
just
a mid-strength.
Mid.
Yeah, that would have been responsible. Have a mid-strength, Hodgie. Now, as always, a brief moment before we get rolling to let you know how you can get in touch with the show. One, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the6points. Two, email us at sixpointspodcast@gmail.com. Three, tweet us on the Twitter machine at sixpointspodcast. And of course, if you like the show, and why wouldn't you? It's top notch. Hit us up with a review on the iTunes store. Just search for 6 points again with a number.
Boom.
And everything will come up from there. Sean, big week in footy, of course. Oh, we've had a couple weeks off.
What a round.
But we don't even have time to recap it. Such a big week in footy. First week of the finals,
pressing
two qualifyings.
Right,
two elimination finals. Let's not wait any longer. Let's get stuck right into it.
Yes, well, game one saw the Hawks travel over here to take on West Coast. And, well, what an occasion this was. First time ever that two finals were hosted in WA.
The Eastern States people quite realise this, but WA nearly collapsed on the weekend. I mean, two games of footy in 24 hours. It nearly collapsed, didn't it?
It was a fast turnaround at Subiaco, but we got there. Look, it was a fairly even contest, first of all. The Hawks were doing a lot of attacking and the Eagles were defending nicely. A bit of finals jitters, Rob. We've seen it across the whole week and it can hit you, the finals jitters. But there was a lot in this game, let me tell you. Both teams, Kennedy, he missed an easy one. McAvoy and Roughhead, they both missed easy ones in the first term. And one terrible kick for the Hawks saw a quick turnover and then the first goal go to the Eagles. Now, the Eagles' tackling pressure, Rob, this was absolutely incredible. Now, probably the best I've seen in a long, long time. Hawks, they just felt so pressured and out of their comfort zone. Not saying you really see a lot from the Hawks. We've seen it more this year than other years, but the Eagles just had it. But it's the second quarter that everyone's been talking about, Rob. A 5-goal 4-quarter to the Eagles to just 1 point to Hawthorn, absolutely smacking them. The Eagles just had this momentum through the whole team that they were just unstoppable, and it's something that we never see happen to the Hawks at all. Their run and carry and their ability to spread and read each other was something that I really liked on the weekend, Rob. There was one run in the third quarter off a turnover in the middle of the ground. Now, they ran it up and they made three mistakes in this place. They ran it off half back and it ended up with a goal. They made three mistakes in this play. Every mistake, it was cleaned up by another player. It was just so clean. It was so fast and it just looked almost rehearsed. Absolutely amazing stuff from the Eagles. And I know everyone's going on about them this week, but there's good reason for it because they were sensational. And look, I tell you what, Rob, there is a new premiership favourite in town. That's right, the West Coast Eagles. They just absolutely destroyed Hawthorn. Now, the scoreboard was close in the end, but on field, it looked like two different teams playing. West Coast had them around every contest and they had 45,000 people behind them there in the wet. Against a team in the most ugliest jumper I've ever seen, let's be honest, Rob, the Power Rangers.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
They did protest about it during the week before, but obviously got knocked back.
No, we're doing everything our way this week.
Yeah, but the funny thing was before the game, I actually saw people wearing the jumper to the game, and I was like, when you were buying it, did you sit back and have a look at it and think, you know, what am I doing here?
Did you have a look in the mirror and think, oh, that's hot? What did you do with your life?
Anyway, let's just... West Coast won. Final score, 14-12-96 to Hawthorn's 9-10-64. Now, let's just have a look at the West Coast lineup quickly. They played the best team in the comp for the last 2 years, obviously the two premiership teams, but the most dominant team in the comp for the last 2 years as well, without Maston and without Pritist, and still managed to get the win convincingly. Just amazing stuff. And if you're a betting man, Rob, I'd be putting my money here for the grand final.
It certainly looks like it. I mean, I thought it was going to be a much closer game than this. Obviously, Hawthorn, I think, when I say it was late in the season, it was probably a couple of months ago now, but they obviously came over to Domain Stadium and actually beat the Eagles
by
14 points. So it was pretty close. It was in a couple of goals. But look, Hawthorn just looked a shadow of that team that did that, you know, 8 weeks ago or whatever it was. West Coast were sensational again. I mean, West Coast, I think at the start of the season, we didn't get a lot of them, especially here in WA, because obviously the Dockers got off to just one of the most sensational starts ever. Fremantle's obviously dropped off. Hawthorn, towards that round 15 through 20, they really picked it up and just started belting teams left, right, and centre. No one's talked about the Eagles, and all of a sudden, here they are, week one of the finals. They pick up a pretty convincing win. I mean, it was only 5 goals in the end, but it was much bigger than that throughout the game. And all of a sudden, everyone's saying West Coast are the premiership favourites, including Ross Lyon, and obviously he has ulterior motives there, trying to shift the focus and things like that onto the Eagles, but rightfully so. I mean, the Eagles look pretty unstoppable at the moment.
Well, like, Rob, just let me put it like this, and you can disagree with me if you want after this, but the Eagles have one more game before the grand final, and they either play Sydney or North Melbourne, two teams who are not anything close to Hawthorn.
Yep.
Easily beatable, and they're playing it at home.
Well, I agree. I mean, Sydney wouldn't have been that long ago. They were over here as well, and West Coast beat them by 50 points. I think it was 52 to 104 or something. It wasn't even close. And I was at that game, and West Coast absolutely dominated it from start to
finish. And North, although they played good last week, I think they're well off the mark that West Coast at.
North played half a game of football this week, and they have a habit of playing half a game of football all season, and sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But if they come out North and serve up a performance like they did this week against West Coast in a couple of weeks' time, at Domain Stadium in a prelim. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bang.
Bye-bye, Brad Scott. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Hawthorn now. Is that it for their grand final chances?
It's not it. Obviously, it doesn't help. But I think it's also... Obviously, they would have preferred a home prelim. But I don't... Hawthorn's proven that they can do things. Obviously, we don't know what happened on Friday night, because that was a shade of what they were and what they can be.
Yep.
But they have come to Domain Stadium, and they've knocked off the Eagles. And at the moment, the Eagles are playing better than the Dockers. Now, if Hawthorn get through, they will come back to play Fremantle. Now, Fremantle can't score.
Yes, well, there'll be some discussions about Fremantle a little bit later. I don't think it's
all gone. Obviously, it didn't go according to plan.
Yep.
But at the same time, you'd like to think that Hawthorn could get it together.
Could pull through. Now, let's just talk about Hawthorn's game now. Is there one thing we can put it down to? Is it just they just didn't rock up to the game?
Obviously, the inaccuracy didn't help them. There's a couple of easy shots you mentioned in the first quarter that they just couldn't get going. Cyril Rioli was electrifying in the first 10 minutes, even the first quarter, really. And then he got shut down, so he didn't have much of an impact on the rest of the game. Hodge, everyone's raving. Hodge had a good third quarter, I'll admit that. But everyone's raving about him. He did nothing for the first half. And I know he had a really good AFL fantasy score, and his dream team was great, and everyone was, superlative about Luke Hodge.
Yep.
I thought he played like crap. He stood up in the third quarter, but other than that, he didn't really do a hell of a lot. If you look at the third quarter, everyone's like, yep, that was Luke Hodge's quarter, really powered the Hawks. 2 goals, 5 to 5 goals, 5.
Yep.
So how much did Hodge actually do in that third quarter? I mean, look, Gunston, a fairly innocuous-looking injury. I mean, obviously, the leg got caught under him, but he wasn't his best on the day anyway.
No,
Roughhead wasn't his best either. There's a lot of players underperforming for Hawthorn.
And it seems to be a trend with Hawthorn now. When Hawthorn do lose, it's those key players that just really have terrible games.
Yeah.
The last loss was, the big loss, sorry, to Hawthorn was by Richmond on that Friday night. And you look at those stats, it was Roughhead, it was Gunston who just didn't rock up to the game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sam Mitchell was obviously dominant. He's a magnet. He finds the ball one way or the other, but Sam Mitchell doesn't have damaging possessions. He has no penetration on any of his possessions. They're handball, you know, 1-2, kick the ball 40 metres to a lead. They're not damaging possessions. You take away him and like, I don't even know who else played well for Hawthorn on the night, because everything that I was looking at was just Eagles.
Eagles. Without a doubt. Okay, last question, Rob. A Derby Grand Final. Is it possible?
It's possible. I mean, yes, it
is. It's set up for the... it's just perfectly set up at the moment, isn't it?
You would think it's a box seat. I think all the statistics and the maths have been done already by the Western Australia Meter, and it's an 83% chance, just because the teams that play the home prelims 83% of the time get through.
Yep.
So, I mean, it would be fantastic, but if people are complaining about the price of flights now, just wait until... honestly, you'd be better off finding five mates and hiring a private jet and going over. It would be atrocious, and accommodation will be at a premium. It'll be it'll be an atrocious time to head to Melbourne, but obviously, if they get through, Perth will be empty.
It'll be empty, and there'll be a lot of congestion along the Nullarbor everyone will be driving.
We might be able to drive up and down the freeway here without stopping. It would be fantastic, but look, it's possible. At the moment, it probably looks likely to happen. I'll have my my say at the start of next week on who makes the grand final in the blog, so I won't give that away.
All right, good.
Okay,
best on ground. Now, this has to go to Mr. El Capitan, Mr. Shannon Hearn. He stood up for the Eagles. Just his run off halfback is incredible once again. Great leader in a well-rehearsed side. A couple of shout-outs as well. Matt Rosa, he was really, really good in the middle. And Hill and Kennedy, they both finished with 3 goals each.
Big, big stakes in this one, Sean. A home prelim final on the line, and Fremantle, it's fair to say, were in the box seat following Buddy Franklin's omission due to ongoing issues, Kieran Jack missing because of last week's knee injury, Parker out with an ankle, and with, let's face it, a week off nearly for everyone in Freo jumpers last week against Port Adelaide. As to be expected, they got the jump early. The irony, though, as Fremantle were actually kicking into a strong breeze, but the third tier... the only third tier in WA, and actually protected them from the wind. So it was actually much easier to score kicking into the wind than it was kicking with the wind, as Sydney demonstrated pretty well. 7 scoring shots to 5 in the first, but the Swans, despite having more, could not hold a lead at quarter time. Freo held on for 13-point lead at the first change. Good signs for Freo, though, too. Fife looked like he returned to his early season form. There's a lot of speculation during the week about whether he'd even play. He killed it. It was absolutely amazing. Second quarter, big blow for Sydney early when Sam Reid, in borderline career best form recently, he snapped a hammy. Gone. In the forward pocket.
Angry,
yeah, you could tell the disappointment on his face, and rightfully so, yeah.
Yep.
Immediately subbed out of the game, meaning that Pike would have to ruck the rest of the game solo as Tippett had to push forward to become a marking target. Having said all this, Sydney never actually gave up, and they never really looked out of the game as Fremantle really struggled to put them away, as they have with teams all season. Come the third quarter, Fremantle seemed to lose their structures a little bit, just a little bit of overuse, overusing the handball, things like that. It resulted in Sydney outscoring them for the quarter, and Josh Kennedy, my God, what a huge third touch for the Swans.
He had something crazy,
20 touches, I don't know how many it actually was, but it seemed like he had a ball with him the entire quarter. En route to 39 for the game, he killed it for the Swans. The final quarter, though, Tippett really did come alive, kicking 2 goals in that final quarter, and the Swans really looked like they were pushing, despite the margin getting out to about 5 goals early on. All in all, though, Fremantle, it's fair to say, they fell over the line in this one. They recorded a 9-point victory. Final score, Fremantle 10-9-69, Sydney 7-18-60. So inaccuracy probably costing Sydney there. Now,
without doubt,
I mean, this is a bit of a throwaway question. Yep. I think everyone has their opinion on this, but were Freo that good, or was Sydney actually that bad? I mean, we mentioned the 18 behind. Sydney and Patches looked really convincing.
Freo didn't do much for me at all. They did have their bright spots, but overall, not liking the game. And I mean, the first time we've had the two WA finals, and you look at both teams, and there's just no comparison between the two. One taking down an injury deflated Sydney before and during the game, and the other one taking seemingly a full strength Hawthorn, and disposing of them reasonably easy.
Yeah, it was a bizarre weekend in that sense. I mean, the first sort of 10-15 minutes, Walters was up, Ballantyne was up. All these little sparks that you think, you know, when these players play well, Fremantle play well. Everything was ticking right. Fife was dominating the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Ballantyne kicked an early one. Walter kicked a couple of early ones. Everything was going good, and they still couldn't really pushed that margin out to a game winner by half or three quarter times.
I think that's the issue with Fremantle. The issue with Fremantle is that there's issues with Fremantle. With West Coast, there's nothing. They're just an exciting, dominant team. With Fremantle, you talk about, well, they don't score much. They don't score fast. They don't play good in the last quarter. Yeah. There's all these things happening.
And that's exactly it. I mean, Fremantle finished first, Eagles finished second, and obviously the media comes back and they're like, they both got prelim finals. But there's such a difference between the quality in these teams. Like you said, everyone's saying, oh, Fremantle don't do this, they don't do that, da, da, da. I haven't heard anyone in the last 2 weeks saying the Eagles won't win it because, and then give me a reason.
No.
The Eagles don't seem to have that weakness that everyone thinks that Fremantle have. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, a home prelim for Frio,
yep.
They face the winner of Hawthorn and Adelaide. Are they good enough to beat either based on this performance, though?
I think whoever they play, it'll be close. Well, Fremantle can have the ability to rise to the game, but they can do it. But it's just a question if it will happen.
It'll
all come down to the day.
If I said to you right now, based on this form, obviously taking out this coming week's game, but let's say hypothetically Hawthorn gets through.
Yep.
Hawthorn
will win.
You reckon Hawthorn will beat Fremantle? Oh, yeah. I actually agree with you.
Yep.
Even though Hawthorn played like crap on Friday, their form throughout the season, we know what they can do. I reckon.
And they're not going to travel to WA twice in 3 weeks and lose both games. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, they're not going to let themselves do that. It'll be good though. We can get Hodgie some more brews. Now, Sydney, they face North Melbourne at ANZ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is funny because obviously all the games were moved from ANZ because of those studs hanging out of the cement a couple of rounds ago.
Oh, good.
And now we're going back there because they need a crowd. So, but do Sydney come back to face the West Coast Eagles in a couple of times? A couple of weeks' time, sorry.
Look, I want to touch on this a bit later, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I'll go into detail a bit later in the show, but
Don't they? Obviously, we mentioned Lance Franklin, his ongoing issues. Parker still out. Kieran Jack out. Obviously, Sam Reid done the hammy as well. And it's fair to say that there was a lot of players that didn't fire. I mean, Isaac Heaney, he's a young kid. He'll get better. And there was a lot of things. He actually did a couple of good things in the last quarter, but he was pretty quiet all day. There was a lot of players that didn't do a lot for Sydney, and they still managed to keep it. I mean, 9 points in the end. I think that was probably a little bit flattering. Fremantle had a 4 or 5 goal lead for most of the game. But for them to get back into that game was really impressive with nobody, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, without doubt. There's one point I want to touch on before you go to your best on ground. Kurt Tippett. What is he on a year? 800,000?
Yeah, the $800,000 paperweight. Yep.
this is what $800,000 buys you. I know he kicked a couple of goals and played it right at the end. There was this. I was watching briefly on Saturday afternoon. There was this one play which I watched. I just laughed immediately. He was rucking against Sandilands and as a throw in. Sandilands literally just put one arm out, stopped Tippett, and then punched the ball about 40 metres down the field.
Is that in the centre? Yeah, I remember that. It was fantastic. Sandilands was like, I'm not having any of this.
No, just one arm, and then just absolutely belted the ball about 40 metres.
It was fantastic. I mean, look, we all knew going into that game that the ruck division was going to... Anyone, it doesn't matter who you are. If you come against Sandilands, you're probably going to lose. Even Source Jacobs, Goldstein, other premier ruckmen in the comp.
They still just
crumble in the face of Sandilands and rifle. So best on ground, I've actually gone between Sandilands and Fife for Fremantle and Kennedy from the Swans.
Yep.
They were probably the best on ground, though I want to give special mention to Hayden Ballantyne, the little man that just pesters everybody. Everyone hates him. I love him. I think he's fantastic. The energy that he brings and his ability to get the crowd involved at critical moments is something that every team needs. Also, look, weeks off due to injury, had the torn pectoral. He's been out about 2 months now.
And that's a painful injury, isn't
it? I mean, that affects all your pressure stats. That affects your ability to put your arms up and do things and tackle. So I thought it was a really, really good effort for him to come back in. He also get 3 goals straight, which is huge, huge for the Fremantle Dockers. I'm just going to go and hide in the corner for this one, Sean. You take it.
Look, I'll take the reins here, Rob. Now, I've dubbed this game the 6P Showdown. So every game from this point out will be known as the 6P Showdown. It was, of course, the Western Bulldogs versus the Adelaide Crows on Saturday night at the MCG, unfortunately, for all Bulldogs fans. Look, big game for both of us, obviously, in the second elimination final. And the equation was easy. Lose, your season's over. Harsh, but very, very true. Now, it was a perfect start for the Dogs. They kicked 3 goals in 3 minutes before the Crows were even able to touch the ball. They had 3 goals on the board, and the Crows didn't have a possession. an incredible start, and there was about all the... There was an entire state which was stunned at the first 3 minutes of this game, and we're just hoping that it was going to be closer.
Yep. And Rob had a girlish smile creeping across his
Rob
face.
Was very happy. Look, odd game. Sauce Jacobs, he was getting all the hit outs, but the Crows just couldn't get a clearance. The ball was coming down, the Sauce was getting it, and it was just going straight to Dogs. And they were just getting every clearances. They were just dominating everything. And after about 5 minutes of intense attacking pressure from the Dogs, the Crows finally got one over the back to Eddie Betts to record their first. After this, the tables turned a bit with the Crows doing all the attacking, which ended up with 3 goals and 1 gift to Rory Salone in the first quarter. And they actually went in the break in front. So after probably the worst start of the year, they ended up the first quarter in front. So it was really, really odd first quarter. Eventful first quarter, but an odd one. Second quarter, Crows, they started slow again in the second. And the Doggies, they were just on fire, running it through the corridors they've been doing all year. Bit of an injury concern. I'm sure your heart was in your mouth at this point. Jake Stringer.
The package.
He upset his hamstring and had some time on the bench. Definitely not the play that you want going down at any stage of the game. Bulldogs, they had all the ball in their forward half, but they were just unable to convert. And when the Crows occasionally broke free and ran it down, they were converting. So that was the difference in the game. Their inside 50 to scoring accuracy was really, really good. Almost every time the Crows in an inside 50, they were scoring. But the Bulldogs, they managed 40 inside 50s by halftime. 40! No matter how strong your defence is, no matter how good your team is, if your opposition's getting 40 inside 50s in a half, the team's they're gonna win eventually. Third quarter, a couple of average mistakes from the Dogs. It really just showed their youth. And I actually think it's a good thing when you see these kind of things, because it does show your youth and it shows how underexperienced it is and how good the future is going to be. On top of their inaccuracy, Jake Stringer, big player, obviously big-time player. He had a really big play in the third term when the Dogs had some momentum. Jake had the ball. The handball was on inside the forward 50. Instead, he tried to take on a player, which resulted in 3 crows swarming around him.
I remember that play. I think you tried to take on 6 or something.
It was just silly. Like if he had a handball at the top, at least he would have given a chance. I'm not saying it would have been a goal, but it would have just been a chance at something rather than getting shut down.
String is known for breaking tackle, so I understand why he did that, and his confidence was up, and I think it's good to see him go for those things, because they are the type of heroics that will win the Dogs games in the future. But obviously, like you said, in the final you just got to get that quick hands, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Tactical sub activated very early in the third quarter for Adelaide. Look, interesting, what are your thoughts on this? I'll get your thoughts on this one, Rob. It was made at the start of the third quarter. Rory Atkins went off and the sub David McKay came on. No injury concerns or anything. Crows were not down. It wasn't like they had started losing the game. They were still very much in it. How did you see that one?
It was interesting. I mean, obviously, the subs usually save for late in the third quarter, maybe even early in the fourth quarter usually.
Yeah.
But I also think that it was a perfect night, perfect conditions in Melbourne. So, I mean, the risk of injury was as low as it's ever going to be.
Yeah.
I also think, look, Atkins, I don't even know he was playing. So he was obviously giving them nothing. McKay came on. I think he did give them something. I think it was the right call overall.
Yeah.
And also gave them a little bit more run. I think McKay a little bit more experience.
Yeah, McKay has that speed off.
Yeah, I think it was actually a good call. I wouldn't say a game-changing call, but I think it did actually help them get momentum. Yeah,
definitely. Tex, he kicked an absolute bomb from about 60 out.
Bring the mullet back, Tex.
Midway through the term to put some separation between two sides and lift the entire team. Rob, this goal would have just killed you.
The dagger.
Everyone had written it off, and then Tex just went back and absolutely bombed it. Your man, Ling John, he took an incredible mark. Am I saying that right? Ling John. Yeah. Incredible mark over a couple of plays, which ended with him kicking a goal. Look, the talent's most definitely there with the Dogs. It's just wasted opportunities, I think. Final quarter, this was the interesting one. Perfect stage set. Two teams battling to stay in it. Dogs started well again, and it was goal for goal with the Crows for a long time. Dogs did get away, though. They kicked 3 goals in a row to get up by 11 points, and the pressure was just all on the Crows. Now, with 3 minutes left, the Crows managed to get back in front by 1 point, and the pressure switched to the Dogs. Now, with the Dogs attacking heavily, this is a play that everyone's been talking about all week. It started with Rory Salone. It started with a mishandball to your man, Lockie Hunter. Mishandball. Rory Salone got the quick handball out from a stoppage, and then it was kicked to a one-on-one to Tex, who disposed of his opponent just way too easily, then ran the ball down the wing. Now, he had options galore up forward. He had Eddie Betts, he had Josh Jenkins, he had Tom Lynch up forward with one-on-one 50-50s. He took a wrist, lowered his eyes, centered the ball across the field and hit Charlie Cameron uncontested to kick for the game. Look, an absolute ripper of a game. One of the best I've seen in a while. One of the best finals I've seen in a long time, probably since Hawthorn Port last year. Both teams were incredible. Crows just a bit better at the right time. That's all you can really say when it comes to games like this. Final score, Western Bulldogs 14-18, 102 to Adelaide's 16-13, 109. Now, I know you're devastated by this score, but I was saying to the people that I was watching it with that if the siren had have been called right now when Crows were behind by 1 point, yes, I'd be sad, but I'd still be happy with the quality of that game. That was just an incredible match.
It really was just one of the most amazing matches as well. I think we had two pretty anticlimactic matches on the Friday night and the Saturday, in the Saturday afternoon. Day, yeah. And then to come up with this as the first game in Melbourne for the week, it was fantastic. I mean, the crowd... I won't get into that because that'll just lead to me ranting about Etihad Stadium in the home final. But, I think they had 60,782 there.
Yep. Massive crowd.
I mean, it's a big crowd. The Bulldogs never play in front of crowds that big. But it was a fantastic game. There was lots of momentum swings, lots of lead changes. Honestly, I was just in awe. I had the biggest grin on my face when the Bulldogs get the first three goals there. Yep. And then the Crows came back and... There were little bits and pieces throughout the game. I was thinking, you know, why aren't we doing this or why are we doing that? How is this player free? Things like that. But overall, it was a really, really exciting game. And like you said, that last 3 minutes was just, I was on the edge of my seat. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. The Bulldogs were pushing in that last 3 minutes. And, I mean, Lockie Hunter that missed that handball. Okay, you've made the skill error. But the thing is, like, if he didn't attempt that handball, he could have kicked it over the top. Jared Grant was running. You could see his blue boots in the top of the screen. They could have kicked it to him. We might have won. We might not have. Who knows? But then the flip side of that is that that was the moment the Bulldogs lost the game. They're like, you had to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. He probably made the right decision, but execution let him down.
Yep.
Ball up. Okay. And you're thinking, okay, it's a ball up. Not the end of the world. We're still in our forward half. Yeah. All of a sudden it comes out. The only time in the game that Tex Walker gets a one-on-one and wins it against his direct opponent is when the Bulldogs player falls to the ground. Tex runs it 80 metres down the wing. He could have blazed away. It would have been very, very easy. 2-on-1 in the forward line. Mm. An exquisite kick, let's be fair to say. It was on the
sensation.
He didn't even straighten it. He just sort of hooked it around his body into the centre corridor. It was a fantastic kick. And Tex Walker, that's why you're the captain. In that moment, you had that split second to make that decision. You made the right one and won in the game. So well done to the Adelaide Crows, but I would like to just point out something. My mum might have been the greatest allies to the Crows on the day, Sean. I'm watching the footy. She comes home from netball. The Bulldogs are 3 goals up. She comes in. She goes, how's it going? I say, good. In the next 30 seconds, Jake Stringer snaps off the left, misses, tweaks a hamstring, and Adelaide go down and kick their first goal. I say, you know,
mum,
you know, FFS mum, get out of the house, go away. Mum goes away. Bulldogs fight their way back into it. Mum comes down thinking the game's over, goes, how's it going? Lockie Hunter misses the handball. Tex Walker comes it over. And Charlie Cameron kicks the goal. So,
Mum,
you've killed me. But
we'll bring her in next week. We'll have a bit of a party.
Yeah, exactly. You owe my mum, I don't know, a bouquet of flowers or something. But, I mean, look, all in all, it was a really spectacular game. A great spectacle. It was high attack as well. Both teams scoring over 100 points. When was the last time that happened in the final?
It's what you want. It's a perfect final.
For coaches, must have been spewing. But it was honestly one of the best games of football of the season. Mm. And I mean, obviously, I'm upset. But at the same time, 11 players from the Bulldogs under 50 years experience, they will learn and they will come back bigger and better.
Look, just talking about the two teams. Personally, the Bulldogs were the better team on Saturday.
I think the statistics will back that up.
Adelaide
were the more efficient team, so you can argue whether or not the better team is the most efficient team or whether it's the dominant team. But, I mean, all in all, obviously I'm upset. Like, I would have liked the Bulldogs to get through, as would you like the Crows. But in terms of the spectacle, you can't argue with that. It was a fantastic game with ebbs and flows, momentum swings, big plays left, right and centre. It was great.
I think the thing that I liked the most about the Bulldogs was that they were just so reliable. Every time they got that ball off halfback, it was Bob Murphy to the next player through the midfield. And then every time, it was just like running through. When the Crows, Crows played good and they did get the ball down there, but it was a much more stagnant way of playing.
I think the way that to sort of sum up the game was that the Bulldogs had possession and looked dangerous 66% of the time, but on the odd occasion that the Crows did get it, the Crows would score. And I think that sort of sums up the game. You know, when the Crows went through the middle, it was open forward line, over the top, run into an open goal. Eddie. When the Bulldogs did it, Adelaide held their defensive structures a little bit better, and it was always a one-on-one. There was always a crow around just to be pesky.
Yeah.
And I think that was...
Those pesky crows.
Yeah, those pesky crows. That was probably the end of the game. That was it, like that, just summed up that way.
All right, let's talk about your Dogs now. What do they work on during the off-season? Nothing specific, I would think, just working on the youth.
I think it's almost... It's not even decision-making in crunch time. They made the right decisions. They just didn't execute. But having said that, the Bulldogs are... They're a pretty skilled team. Like, their disposal is pretty good. I said during the week to somebody on Facebook that the Bulldogs are Matthew Cruiser, Jake Carlow, and 3 years away from a premiership.
Mm.
And that's what we need. We need a ruckman. We need a key defender. Because as much as I love Dale Morris, A, he's aging, and B, he's like 2'5".
Yeah.
And he shuts everyone down. He's amazing. He did it years in a row against Nick Riewoldt. But they need a key defender and a ruckman. That's what they have to target during the trade period and free agency. And 2 to 3 years. And I think they'll be fine. So I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, well, definitely. You would be. Crows now. Let's talk about Crows. Next week, play Hawthorne. Any changes you would make to the team? Anything you didn't like on Saturday night?
I don't think there was anything I didn't like as such. They need to obviously start faster, because another start like that, 3 goals in 3 minutes, and that might be the difference. I mean, obviously, this game was high scoring. But you look at a game like Fremantle or Sydney, it was only maybe 10, 15, I was saying about 18 goals between them.
Yep.
So in a 9-point game, I mean, this is only a 7-point game, but in a game that only has 120 points scored between two teams, that 3 goals at the start is actually
that could be a lot
more important. Whereas in this game, obviously 211 points between the two teams, not so much because it was big on momentum, but the Crows can't afford to start like that again.
Yeah, look, it's an odd team. I mean, you see them, they came out like that at the start of Bulldogs, but then when they played West Coast, they kicked 7 in the first quarter to 1 point. So you just don't really know what's going to happen, but whatever they did to West Coast, they need to bring next week to Hawthorn. That's the same kind of procedure that they need to do to take down the Hawks if they
want
to do that.
And look, full credit to the Crows. They did everything they needed to do. They didn't do it in the most convincing fashion, but like I said, they knew what the plan was, and they executed it to perfection on the night. The Bulldogs had a plan and they couldn't execute it, but they were peppering away at it all game, and ultimately it just came down to that final 3 minutes.
Definitely. Best on ground for the Dogs. Lockie Hunter outstanding in the mid.
Except for that damn handball.
Except for the handball, yes. As always, Bob Murphy running it off halfback. He's the biggest asset to the Western Bulldogs.
He's signed on for next season as well.
He's some good breaking news here, Rob. He's kind of like Hayden Ballantyne. He's so frustrating to watch for the opposition because he's just always got the ball. He's always dodging tackles. He's always running it off halfback. So frustrating, but so good. Easton Wood, he was very important with his intercept marks. And missed a set shot, Tory Dixon, 5 goals straight, if you don't mind. For Adelaide, Rory Sloane's aggression is second to none. I love watching Rory Sloane. Dangerfield and Tex Walker both stood up in the fourth quarter and won the game for the Crows, but you cannot go past Eddie Betts. He is back to his absolute best. 5 goals, could have easily been more. Sensational stuff by the little man.
Now, Richmond North Melbourne at the G on Sunday, Sean. I was still in mourning when this game happened. But two Victorian teams doing battle at the Mecca. So a great day was in store. In a game that neither could really afford to lose, Richmond settled the best early. They keep the opening 2 goals. North, from that point on, I think, had the better of the quarter, but they couldn't capitalise, going 1-6. Benny Jacobs from North doing the impossible in this one and keeping Tiger captain Trent Cotchin to just 5.5 touches for footy. Absolutely sensational, especially from one of the prime ball movers from Richmond. Really big time job there. Won't show up on the stat sheet for Benny Jacobs, he's probably won in the game with that single stat. Now, 7-5 in the second term saw the Tigers push their lead out to 13 points in the main change. Huge scoring second quarter there. 12 goals, absolutely fantastic. The third quarter, this was when it looked like North's decision to rest players last week was a masterstroke. Richmond, they came out a little bit flat while North bounced away and they cut the deficit. Richmond conceded 20 inside 50s and achieved only 4 of their own. And when you think about it, that is actually remarkable. I mean, the job that the Tigers defense did in that quarter, led by Alex Rance, they conceded 5 goals from 20 injuries. That's amazing. Yeah. And that wasn't through North Melbourne's inefficiency. That was through Richmond's defense. Really, really good job they stood up there. Richmond's efficiency, though, in that quarter, they did net 3 goals from 4 entries. So really, really good stuff there. Tight final quarter looking ahead. And look, Boomer Harvey getting busy. Cotchin still struggling. Just couldn't get into the game. They showed him the bounce at the start of the fourth. He looked determined. He looked like it was ready to go. Did nothing. It was really unfortunate there. Now, a controversial no-call on a potential hold on the ball will be remembered out of this one, Sean. Richmond could have and should have been lining up for a goal from close range, in my opinion, only to have the ball go coast to coast and have Lindsay Thomas snap a goal.
That's an odd one.
That was a really odd play. I mean, the North player took two or three steps, did swing his leg, but didn't make contact with the ball. So I think the umpire's got a bit of stage fright there. Look, the Kangaroos, they did bounce out to a slight lead, and with time winding down, Ty Vickery had a chance to pull it back, but missed from 30 metres on the run, sucking the life out of the MCG and his team's hopes with it.
Was a ball, the man over the top, was he on? I'm pretty sure he was.
I'm pretty sure he was on.
And Ty Vickery just took it on himself.
To be fair, 30 metres out running into goal, you'd back him, but still, you know, you've got to make those 1% plays, and you have to make a split decision. You can't argue with either decision, but obviously it looks like a deal because he missed the shot. But final score, Richmond 14-4-88, North Melbourne 15-15-105. Controversial no call in the last 8 minutes, Sean. Should it have been paid?
Yep, definitely.
Straight out.
Yep.
Yeah, three steps, had prior opportunity, did not make a proper disposal with the ball.
I had a bit of a multi going on North Melbourne on this one. So I was watching it very closely. And yeah, I was devastated. When I saw it, I thought it was paid straight away. So I was almost on the floor.
And I think actually three or four Richmond players stopped assuming that it would be, and it just wasn't.
Nothing.
Upsetting. Look, Tigers bounced in the first round of the finals for the third straight season. Will they ever get past this? Or is this, like, the Tigers had a while where they were finished ninth and they didn't even make the finals. Now they're in. Is it the new curse, the fact that they can't get past the first round?
Well, look, last year I think it was appropriate because of their... I mean, they only were there because they won eight in a row
at
the end of last year. And then they got absolutely whipped by Port Adelaide, I believe.
Yeah.
This year, though, this year should have been better. This year should have been different. I mean, they were pushing for top four.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the end, they were only, a game, maybe half a game out of the fourth place.
They were very close to top four, and it was only because of a couple of other results, I think, that they didn't make top four. Yep. So they should be in the next round by now. There's 3 years in a row. It's not a good rap sheet.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for Hardwick. I think if he coaches next year, there's a stat coming out. He will be the longest tenured coach without a finals victory.
Yeah,
well, so he's been there 5 or 6 years, so he has had a lot of time. But yeah, obviously not a stat you want.
And Richmond's the kind of team who in the past has a history of getting rid of coaches as well. So
yeah, you'd think. I don't know what Dim has done, but I think he's been on a little bit of a hot seat. Maybe they give him one more season, but you wouldn't think beyond that he'd get much leniency if they don't.
I think you'd have to give him one more. I would give him one more season.
Yeah.
But if the same thing happens again, then that's
exactly.
It.
Obviously, Chris Newman retired at this one.
Yes.
Worth mentioning, he did play a role. He had 2 goals in his last game and was given the guard of honour to walk out of the ground. Great player. Been there a long time. Had to wait 200 and stupid amount of games to play his first final. And in the end, he finishes with 3 and no wins in finals. So a little bit upsetting for him.
Yeah.
But best on ground for this one, Jared Waite for me. 4 goals, 7 tackles and a huge effort from the aging forward. And he took marks in the last quarter when they were needed. Boomer was also fantastic at the ripe old age of 65 or whatever the hell he is. Look, just a big week in footy. North Melbourne getting the W. So
yeah.
All in all, is there anything that stood out apart from obviously the beers being offered to Hodgie on Friday night, the booing of Adam Goods, which we're not even going to talk about because it's just...
dragged on.
Just stop talking about it, honestly. Chris Newman, obviously retiring there as well. Anything else that you noticed on the weekend you thought was a bit amusing?
Not amusing for me. Boomer Harvey was absolutely sensational in this game, and he's one of the reasons that they won it. He kicked some crucial goals in that one, and he just stood up for the team, and he is the reason that North Melbourne are playing Sydney this week.
Is he... Obviously, we all know that he can probably go forever. It looks like the Energizer Bunny, but eventually he's going to call time in his career.
Yeah.
I think he's the barometer. Like, he's the one that gets them going, and he's the one that sets them alight. So when he goes, are North Melbourne, even though it's only one player, are North Melbourne actually going to make finals once he leaves?
Oh, that's it's hard to see without him because... He
does
spark.
Everything, doesn't he? He's the one that breaks the packs. He's the one that lifts the crowd, lifts the boys. And he's Ballantyne. He's that player that just ignites everything that they do. And when he's on fire, North are on fire. So it'll be interesting to see when Boomer goes. Hopefully it's not for a little while. Yeah, I mean, we have been spoiled with 28 years or however old he's been in the league.
Well, he hasn't slowed down at all. That's the thing. Like, you know, you see when they get
it's
on.
It's because of his low centre of gravity, I reckon. but yeah, look, big week in footy, Sean. We're going to hand it over to you now for the call.
I'm making the call. Get behind me, boys. Look out! Fire in the hole!
First ever finals call this week, Rob. Very good.
You're feeling the pressure.
Bit of history. Just being written right now. Now, look, it was very nearly Tigers skipper Trent Cotchin after his no-show performance, I'm going to call it, against North on Sunday afternoon.
Just MIA at the critical moment, wasn't he?
But I thought the Tigers had been copying all the flack, so I'll give him a bit of a rest and turn my eye to Carlton. But wait! Carlton didn't play the finals. Bear with me, Rob. Now, Rob, I'm going to ask you this question first, and I know that I'm catching you off guard, but who were your top performers for week one of the finals?
Now, you think you're catching me off guard, but I did actually read the script before. So I've actually listed two players from each game, so I'm going to run through them. Friday night, I had Shuey and Kennedy as two. Bontempelli and Betts.
Yep.
Ballantyne and Josh Kennedy from the Swans, and then Waite and Boomer.
Good. Okay, good. Yep, look, I agree. There's a few more. We won't get into them, but they're the mate. That sums it up very well. Good drop for you.
Thank you.
Good preparation here. Now, look, I want to talk about three players in particular that stand out. Josh Kennedy, Eddie Betts, and Jared Waite. Now, let's go in order. Josh Kennedy, first of all, 3 goals, 2, 16 disposals, 9 marks. Massive target up forward, really big presence around the ground. Eddie Betts, now we've talked about him before.
Single-handedly won the game.
Without a doubt. He's back to his absolute best. 5-goal haul. And for a small forward, just sensational stuff. And Jared Waite, he finished with 4 goals, 2. His marking was the thing that really impressed me, though. You take away the goals, he was still a really, really good player. Marking outstanding, along with his big presence on the ground, really lifted North and proved to be the difference. Now, what do all these players have in common? They're all traded out by Carlton. Now, Jared Waite was the most recent, but I reckon that Eddie Betts hurts the most. The fact that all he wanted was more money, and he was willing to stay with the club, and they flat out refused. And to all reports, now, this hasn't been confirmed at all, but this is what has been said, that it wasn't a significant amount more than what he was getting.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in hindsight. I mean, you look at what Eddie's producing, and, you know, $1 million wouldn't seem like a huge amount. Exactly. I mean, it's all relative, but yes.
Yeah. Now, really poor decisions from Carlton, and seeing him in this form for the whole year and for the weekend, it really hurts the Wooden Spooners. And this statistic, this is going to hurt Carlton fans. Okay. Kennedy, he secured the Coleman medal, finishing with 78 goals for the year. Eddie was runner-up with 63, and Jared Waite finished up with 39 goals. Carlton's highest goal kicker, any ideas who it was, Rob?
Oh, not off the top of my head, mate. I would have to say Casbolt, but he wasn't even playing half the year, so.
Andreas Everett.
Hey!
And he finished with 31.
Drafted by the Bulldogs, Andreas Everett.
Now, Carlton's, okay, this is the other one that's got to hurt. Carlton's combined goal of every game. Now, this is a team that plays with 18 players every week. 22 players, and 18 on the ground. Every week, 22 players. For 23 rounds, they kicked 219 goals. Okay, 23 players, 23 rounds. 22 players, 23 rounds, 200. Just trying to do my math here, Rob.
Yep.
219 goals for the entire regular season. Now, just those three players that I mentioned, Kennedy, Betts, and Waite, they kicked 180 goals. Now, that's just the 39-goal differential from three players to an entire team.
That's ridiculous.
Just an outstanding stat, that, Rob. Now, look, Carlton, they've made some very poor decisions of late and caused the worst decade and a half ever for the club. The morale around the club is atrocious, and this is from someone looking in from the outside, not even someone involved with the club. Take a chapter out of Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs book, make some drastic changes, clean out all the crap, and start the side fresh from the inside and build a proper team. Recruit wisely, invest in youth, and just invest in Patrick Cripps. Keep Patrick there. He's the start. He's what you need to start with. Keep him happy because he's the future of the club. You can have the priority pick. Hell, you can have 10 priority picks from the AFL. Until you fix up the issues from inside, your team will never be successful. And that's my call, Rob.
Fantastic. That was really well done, Stan. What a stat. 180 Thanks. Goals from three players compared to... That is just, that's just, like, it's actually something unbelievable. I mean, when you think about it, that, okay, so if Carlton kicked 219, you said, for the season as a team, you would think then that if those three players were to play Carlton every week, they probably could have stayed with them until about round 17.
Yeah.
That's just
incredible stuff, isn't it?
That's just, it's mind-boggling, really. I mean, obviously, we all knew that Eddie Betts, obviously, the first season he went to the Crows, he killed it.
Yeah.
They were probably eating crap then, the Blues, and they're eating crap now. Josh Kennedy, okay, they've got Chris Judd. JD went on to win a Brownlow, so you can't really argue too much of that, but obviously, Kennedy's making them look silly right now.
Yeah.
As for Jared Wade, I think Jared Wade actually wanted out a little bit, or he's some sort of free agency. I'm not 100% sure how that played out, but he's been pretty serviceable, let's be honest, for a guy that's in his early 30s. He's done pretty well. So
Jared Wade did opt out for the club. So there's nothing they can really do about it. Eddie Betts was the one, though, that was the kind of
He's the biggest one as well. I mean, they got Chris Judd, so you can understand the trade there. But Eddie Betts was the one that they just said no to, basically. Yeah. So, God, eating humble pie after that one, aren't they? Hero of the week. Yeah, now Hero of the Week, Sean, goes to GWS, Greater Western Sydney. What? They didn't play finals? I know, Sean, bear with me. Look, it's the way that they responded with a big fat no to key forward and young gun Cam McCarthy's request to be traded during the week that gets them my hero. Now, McCarthy been sensational this year, fair to say, 35 goals in 20 games and looking at times to be really, really dominant. When he came out and said he wanted out, the Giants could have dealt with it. Well, they have a gluttony of key position players. They're not short of these big players. But chose to take a stand and not let this kid Tom Boyd his way out of there. Now, GWS, they need to take that stand to let people know you can't just leave.
Yeah.
If you are contracted, you will play out your contract. You can't just say to these young kids, okay, here's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year extension, whatever it is, and have them think, oh, well, of course I'm going to take the money because if it doesn't work out, I'll just trade.
Yeah.
You need to make them think about when they're signing these contracts. If you're taking the contract that says you will pay this much money over 5 years, they need to have in their mind that they're there for that five-year period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, there's the other side of which is like GWS need to honor that contract as well. But look, they needed to do this because they can't just have Tom Boyd leave last season. I know that's a bit different because Griffin had already nominated his preferred destination, but they can't keep losing all these players. Treloar, I think, is gone. He will be gone at the very least.
Yep.
So they need to keep keep this around because there is something happening at that club. And I mean, without injuries, they probably would have made finals this year as well.
No, without a doubt. There's so much talent there. And yeah, I agree. I don't like it at all. I don't like this style. You look at players like, I'm going to use Paddy Dangerfield as an example. He was always supposed to play for Geelong. He's born in Geelong and he probably will go to Geelong at the end of the year. But he's done the right thing. And he stayed out his contract.
Yep, yeah,
and I don't like the these young players seeing that they can just come and then look at players like, you know, Buddy and all these, Gary Ablett and stuff, and think, well, I can do that, and go to another club. Don't like it.
No, 100%. So, GWS, that is why you get my Hero of the Week. Here are the hottest points in the league as of Tuesday, the 15th of September. Western Bulldogs. Jared Grant, he looks set to explore his options in free agency as no contract for next season has been forthcoming from the Doggies. Grant was the fifth pick in the 2007 draft and despite playing 81 games for the Dogs thus far, has never delivered on his potential. Sean, is he a Bulldog next year?
Before I say that, give us your Stingray stat.
Oh, yeah, no. He got stung by a Stingray at St Kilda Beach before he even played a game. Obviously not a good sign. He's been injury riddled throughout his career. Oh, the Bulldogs just should have let him go then and there, really.
I think this is a blessing for the Bulldogs if he goes. I'll be very happy.
I mean, he's kicked 11 goals from 19 games. He has been serviceable, but I think the only reason he's there is because of height.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs don't have a lot of height. We have Caleb Daniel, the smallest player in the AFL now, the little cult hero with the helmet. So I think he's gone. I think if the Bulldogs wanted him, they would have offered him a contract by now.
Yeah.
High-flying demon Jeremy Howe. His management says that his contract negotiations with Melbourne have, and I quote, quite a gap between what the two parties want.
He
does insist, though, that Howe wants to stay a Demon, but he also says there's interest from rival clubs. Now, whether or not that's true, who knows, but of course you're going to say that there's interest from rival clubs.
Obviously. Well, I reckon there would be. He's a bit of a game breaker, isn't he?
Relatively young-ish as well.
I reckon there'd be a bit of interest around
him. Obviously high-flying, fan-favourite, couldn't get the crowd pumped. I think he's probably someone that other clubs would be looking at. Where do you think he ends up? Obviously, he said that he wants to stay a Demon. I would back the Demons to get a deal done there. They don't want to go losing players like this.
Yeah, look, well, it'll be a club that's looking to recruit a lot. I'm thinking teams like Brisbane's.
I'd be looking at Brisbane or Carlton anywhere.
Carlton, Carlton's a good one.
Why would he go to Carlton if he spent the last 5 years at Melbourne not winning games?
That's fair, yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely.
All right, so next point is...
Some injuries I've got for you, Rob.
Yes.
Jack Gunston, injured on Friday night. He's an uncertainty for the Friday night final against the Crows.
He won't play.
He won't play?
I'm saying it right now. Yeah, he will not play.
Yeah, there's been a lot of reports, and it doesn't look good for Jack Gunston for Sydney. A lot of outs for Sydney, Rob, and... first of all, it starts with Buddy. Now, Buddy didn't play last week. Obviously, there was some health issues. Sam Reed, also you mentioned before, he did his hamstring. And Luke Parker is also out. Three massive outs for Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. Three massive outs. They'll be up against it this week, trying to get past North. But those are the headlines for this week. Dream Team time, Sean.
Boom.
Now, we've been off for a couple of weeks. Finals come and gone. I just want to break this down for you very, 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 very quickly. Sean and I finished 8 and 7. Sean was 7th, I was 8th in our respective leagues. So that meant that Sean was in the second elimination final.
Yeah.
Shadow Dogs, the mighty Shadow Dogs in the first elimination final. We both got pounded, it's
all right,
fair to say, in the first week. Having a higher average every week for the entire season, Sean, the Shadow Dogs pick up the victory between us two in the 6 points Dream Team Showdown.
Oh,
the Shadow Dogs, 18-36.
Yeah.
The Walking Techs, 18-15. So fair to say, not our best week in either sense. But
robbed the Walking Techs.
Exactly. It wasn't great. Now, the biggest disappointment, mine, we'll just do this one, biggest disappointment player, mine was Gary Ablett. Picked him up in the first two rounds, dropped $100,000, had to trade him out in the first 2 weeks. Sean, who was your disappointment?
Yeah, look, it's probably Tom Rockliffe, I think. He was the one that was up about six and a half. We both started with those two big players.
He was even 700 at
one point,
wasn't
700,
he?
Yeah, we both started with these big, massive players, big intentions, and then both of them didn't play. Only played half a year, so
Just like
unlucky
Collingwood. We won't lose a game this season.
Carlton, yeah, we're gonna lose a game this season.
Won't lose a game this season. Wooden Spooners. Now, Sean, the big news in the last 7 days to come out is, of course, the Bachelor update.
Yes.
Heather did not receive a rose last week after hometown dates, and you know what that means, Sean.
Oh, here we
go. I lost a bet.
Oh no, what's he doing
now, Heather baby? I know I haven't known you for too long, but in the brief amount of time that I had with you,
I feel
as though there is an undeniable attraction between the two of us. As I've watched you from afar in a non-creepy way, I've seen you grow into the person I so dearly desire. Now, other people will have their concerns, and they are valid. That Warwick dude from last week's episode, now, he was really creepy, and he could probably eat me alive, but that doesn't change the way that about you, Heather. You are gorgeous, funny, and just so down to earth, it's almost scary. Now, just because The Bachelor messed up and let you get away doesn't mean I will make the same mistake. I can't promise you much. I can't promise you a film career. I can't promise you a big house. I can't promise you a fancy niche in Qashqai,
Falcon,
like the producers on the show can. I can't promise you the XR6. nor can I really even afford the crudely placed South Cape cheeses they place everywhere throughout the mansion on the show. But I can promise you one thing, Heather, and there's one thing that no one else has promised you ever in your life, and that is that you will never be friend-zoned.
Boom.
You are the most gorgeous and real girl to grace my TV screen in all the years I've watched The Bachelor, both in Australia and the US versions, and I never want the light that you bring to my life to disappear.
Are we on?
Now, with that in mind...
Oh, he's put out a ring, ladies and gentlemen.
Heather Maltzman...
Goodness. He's on his knees.
Woman of my dream. I give you this ring as a token of my love. Will you marry me?
Okay, well, we'll throw out to throw this on Facebook, Rob, because, look, the phones haven't lit up at all. There's no calls in from Heather, unfortunately. And
we'll have to send this to her. We have to get it to her somehow. Heather, baby. I lost a bet 3 weeks ago.
Very heartfelt.
I thought I was pouring my heart out there. I thought it was very, very quite an emotional roller coaster that I just took everyone on there. But no, in all honesty, I was a bit upset, Sean, that she was gone.
Look, I think the whole of Australia was. I don't think anyone's proposed
Sam
to her
Woods
as of yet.
Yeah, Sam. Well, get in early,
first
Sean. Get in early. We'll send that out. We'll see if we can get a response from her at some point.
Restraining order.
Oh God, what's my life come to? Let's just move on. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Right. Rightio. Right. Now predictions time. Only the two games this week.
I'm just trying to calm down after that.
It was heartfelt. It was heart wrenching, wasn't it? I mean, I really poured my heart out there.
Yeah, you're on the floor and everything.
Did you feel anything, Sean? Could you feel the passion?
I didn't. The producer studio did. Brianna almost collapsed. Your secret admirer from afar for a long time now. She wasn't happy with the proposal.
Well.
And the fact that it was left off the script as well, she was not happy about that.
Well, I'm sorry, Brianna, but you know, let's be honest,
the way things have gone.
If you kept yourself looking a
bit
tidier,
in the middle of Dream Team as well, the final Dream Team we've done, and we get a proposal.
Well, what can I say? I'm full of surprises, Sean. Now predictions. Time to just about wrap this one up, but we're going to guess like we do each and every week. Only the two games, Sean. Let's start with the first one. Hawthorn v Adelaide.
I'm not happy about that. There's only two games left.
It's only two games for the next 2 weeks and then one game.
Yeah, I know.
What are we going to do with our lives?
That's the thing.
if Heather turns me down, I'm just a single bloke with no sport. Hawthorn versus Adelaide.
We've mentioned
the injury, obviously, to Gunston. Mm-hmm. Hawthorn looked really shaky last week.
Yep.
Adelaide, let's be honest, less than convincing, but they did get it done with good efficiency, which is obviously important in finals.
Look, they have had good form recently. Round 22 was their last good form they've had. I mean, they did get the win, so you can't, you know, say they were bad. But yeah, not less convincing. Yeah, good way of putting it. Look, MCG, it'll be a great game. Whatever happens, it's going to be an absolute ripper of a game. Hawthorn, Jack Gunston out. Luke Bruce hasn't kicked anything for 3 weeks now. He's been held goalless. I don't think it's going to matter. I believe Hawthorn's going to win this one in a tight contest.
How strong are you in that conviction, though? Like, if Adelaide got up, would it actually be a surprise to you?
It's not going to be a surprise because I think it will be close, but I just think that Hawthorn will just be stronger when it matters. The reason it'll probably be a big scoring game as well, probably over 80 points, I would assume. Adelaide's kind of had that effect, and Hawthorn, we know, is one of the biggest scoring teams in the comp, if not the biggest scoring team. And it will be a surprise, but it's going to be close, and it's going to be 50-50. But I think at the end of the day, Hawthorn is just going to be a bit stronger when it matters.
Yep, I'm actually tipping Hawthorn as well. But having said that, I think I'm more convinced that Adelaide can cause the upset than you are. Adelaide, If you look at this, like, you look at the back line of the Hawks, so you'd assume Lake would go to Tex.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it would be Frawley.
Yep.
Now, the only reason Frawley would get the job is because I think he could stay with Tex as he runs up the ground a bit more.
Yep.
But who would play on? You would assume that maybe Gibson would get bets? Possibly? Yeah, or Gibson might have to go to Jenkins.
Jenkins would be the one. Jenkins is kind of like, I mean, he didn't score anything last week, but he's the one that can open up.
The ball was kicked to him a lot, and he's the X factor, but I mean, if you look at that, who plays on bets then? If Frawley or Lake go to, because you're not putting Frawley or Lake on bets, because bets will just run around them.
I think it'd have to be Gibson then.
Then who do you put on Jenkins?
Oh god,
this is what I mean. Like, there's a lot of headaches there, and we'll see what Hawthorn does. But Hawthorn, I'm tipping them because we know what they can do, and we know they can be damaging. But it would not surprise me at all if Adelaide got up in this one. Second game, Sydney v North Melbourne. That's up at ANZ Stadium for the crowd.
Look, upset on this one for me, without a doubt. I don't know why they're paying so much, why Sydney is so heavily favourite, because they've got three massive outs. North Melbourne, I reckon, are going to not rip shreds off them. It'll be fairly tight, but I reckon North Melbourne for the win. I reckon...
I'm to me Sydney. Okay. I think Sydney will get the job done just only because ANZ is such a bizarre surface.
It's such a weird
thing. Look, North, they didn't impress me. They played half a game of football against Richmond. Sydney, okay, they didn't kick well, but at least they played a full game of footy. I think Sydney will get the job done just based on that. So that's my tip. I've gone Hawthorn, Sydney. You've gone Hawthorn, North Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. As of now, if we are right, that obviously means that West Coast take on Sydney. So Sydney head back to Domain Stadium, and Hawthorn head back to Domain Stadium. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is your dose of the 6 points for another week. Sean,
done.
Which of the two games are you looking forward to most? Obviously, as an Adelaide supporter, the first one?
Even if I wasn't an Adelaide supporter, Sydney, North Melbourne's going to be a scrappy game.
It was like last year, but Sydney belted them.
Yeah. It's not going to be an entertaining game. Hawthorn Adelaide will be a much more entertaining game, without a doubt, I think.
I think it'll be more entertaining. We'll have a bigger crowd as well. ANZ Stadium doesn't get the atmosphere that I like. It doesn't even look good on TV. I'm not sure why the AFL's moved that one over there, but nonetheless, I'm looking forward. I think Sydney and North will be
dodging the exposed bolts.
I think it'll be a game of less quality, but I think it'll be tighter.
Mm.
So I'm actually going to back in at the second game there. But Well, that's it, Sean.
That's it.
I've proposed. I've shattered Brianna's heart. Now, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or send us an email if there's anything you'd like to contribute to the show. We also have the blog, which is published on Mondays. So if you can't get enough of your footy, be sure to jump on the Facebook and find the link from there. I'm Robert Beaver. To my left, Sean Subra. From the crew here at 6 Points, go out and have a great weekend watching the footy. If your team's out of it like mine, sit on the couch, crack open a few bevvies, and watch the Crows get ripped to shreds by Hawthorn. We'll be back next week to break it all down. We'll see you then.
Murdoch University is the provider of resources and transmission facilities for the 6 Points podcast. The views expressed on the show are those of the individual and not necessarily those of Murdoch University or Radio Murdoch. All views expressed are those of the individual unless otherwise stated.